Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Got another dude!
Hey! What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy. Bronco Nagurski Award. Ultimate dudes.
Got another dude!
O-line U, bunch of dudes.
Lot of dudes.
Yeah! Another dude in the house!
Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, presented by 4th and Dude. Special edition, season 2 kickoff episode. After a long offseason, we are officially less than a week away from Boston College football. The BC hype machine has been cranked up all summer. With a ton of all ACC players on both sides of the ball and a Heisman contender in the backfield, Coach Addazio has finally created his team of dudes. On today's episode, we'll break down a busy offseason, give you our official season prediction, and get you ready for, get this, Matt, the Minute Manslaughter next weekend.
That's pretty good. It's not quite the F-Fest at Fenway, but overall pretty strong introduction here. This is an overall weird feeling that we have that there's actually so much hype around the Boston College football team. I don't know whether to be excited, terrified, a little bit of both, but I think we know that we're in for a tremendously interesting next 4 months or however many months the season lasts.
As graduates of the 2013 class, we've never seen anything like this.
No.
As long as we've been BC
terrible.
Fans.
It's been terrible.
There's been no hype whatsoever in the offseason. It's been pretty much created hype between you and I.
We've
always said, hey, we're going to go 10-2 this year.
So
namely last year.
Right, so there's no difference here because we always expect to be 10 wins, but no one else does.
The difference is this year, other people are saying
it. Right,
so it's an exciting time to be an Eagle. And again, it's August, so anything can happen. You know, we could go anywhere from, like we've talked about offline, we can go anywhere from 4-8 to
15-0.
I was going to say 15.
Yeah, 15-0. That's a better way to look at it.
But it's a great time to be an Eagle, unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Matt, it sure is. So a bit of housekeeping. We are recording this episode live from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, for a college roommate's wedding. So we're very excited to be together and talk some Eagles. So a lot of stuff to unpack in this coming episode here. We're going to obviously look ahead to UMass. But before that, I think we want to do a little bit of recap of offseason and camp. And then talk through the season. So you want to just get it underway with what we've spoken about since the last time we've been on mic, which was the 5-year reunion.
Yeah, and I'm sure all you guys listened to that. But in case
great
you didn't,
episode, our best episode ever by far.
Just in case you guys are new to the program, we are Boston College football and all sports, but primarily football.
Football,
the authority on Boston College football.
Well, we're insiders for basketball.
So we're insiders for basketball. We're getting inside. Well, we're getting there for football.
Someone will reach out to us.
But if you have any inside info, pass it along for football as well. But anyway, we are the foremost authority on BC football from the fan perspective. We've been longtime fans. And finally, this is the year that I think, and we said it last year, that we're going to go 10-2. This is actually the year we go 10-2. More on that to come.
More on that to come.
But that's who we are. Welcome aboard if you're just joining us. But it's going to be a great ride this season.
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting offseason for the Boston College Eagles, really for the main reason of that we finally have facilities that can compete in the ACC and with the top tier of college football. The Fish Fieldhouse opened, probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. We mentioned it on the reunion pod because we could see it from where we were staying that week, but It's a hell of a building. It really is a top-tier facility. Obviously, the summer is not the time where it pays dividends because we could practice outside most of the time, and that would be fine.
Yep.
But it's just a gorgeous facility. It seems like the team's excited about it.
Well, that's really the thing, right?
Right.
And that's
recruiting and all that.
Exactly. It's more semantics than practicality. You want to be able to leverage that for recruits. And by the way, and I'm the biggest Steve Addazio truther you guys have
truther
ever met.
Truther would be a negative thing, wouldn't it? Truth would be like you're hiding.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be like you're hiding facts about Steve Addazio that no one else
I
knows.
Believe in the truth of Steve Addazio
being
a Hall
really
of Fame
good.
Football coach.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
Obviously, he's done a great job recruiting without
this having any type of indoor practice facility to leverage. He's gotten the Harold Landrys, the AJ Dillons of the world, obviously, kind of the true BC under the radar type recruits that you make absolutely elite. Now, Dillons, was a big time recruit to begin with,
as was Landry, but yeah,
not as good.
Landry's a 4-star.
I think he was 3.
I think you're wrong, but
I looked it up before show, Matt.
Okay.
So you can go down the list, right? Dennis. He's recruited the BC guy that maybe flies under the radar that you develop and you make into a big time player. That was the hallmark of the teams in the mid-2000s, the Matt Ryans of the worlds, and that whole roster was really a testament to that. The under recruited people. You had your Brian Tolles and the guys like that were big time recruits, but primarily it was guys that really outplay the number of stars that they received on Rivals. So
yeah, that's about. I mean, even Keekly was a 3-star.
Exactly. So that's a great point. So it's really, Dazzy was doing that before the Fieldhouse. Now we have this. He can take it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm excited about that. I'm with you. So I mean,
and he already has, by the way. We're top 35 or something in recruiting,
he's working on the best class by far. So I think an eventful offseason in that regard. I think in terms of the news that came out of camp, it was pretty quiet, which is not a bad thing.
Here's the deal with camp too. It's like you can't read too much into it, right?
Right. We had no injuries or no major injuries that we know of, which is good. And knock on wood, because we still have a week before game day. But
to me, this offseason was all about Brown, right? How is Anthony Brown looking? It seems like every offseason, every spring game, you're going to have the backup quarterbacks that look like Andover, they're the Heisman candidates. Exactly. Yeah,
it's Perry,
like
right.
Everyone looks good in practice. But it's really about how Anthony Brown's doing.
Yeah, it seemed overall kind of like a quiet camp based on the notes that they were putting out. And then that all seemed to change at the last scrimmage, the third scrimmage. Basically Brown and Dillon exploded. We had a GIF go viral. Follow us on Twitter if you're not already, @4thanddude. But for the most part, there wasn't a lot of noise about them, which I'm fine with. I think camp, especially the press releases for camp, are, I don't know what the purpose of them is, but they probably, there's some element that says we don't want to give too much away to our opponents, whatever it might be. I fully expect Brown to be ready to go, and Dillon is obviously going to be a bowling ball all throughout the year. So overall, successful camp. Again, the big news being the poorly named Fish Fieldhouse. But I think we're full ready to go into game week and excited for the next 13 weeks have in store.
Seems like it. And just one quick note on Brown. It's you never know how a quarterback's going to bounce back after a knee injury, specifically an ACL. Especially for a mobile quarterback, right? And you look through the list of quarterbacks that have had ACL issues, and it's pretty cut and dry. It's they're very rarely the same player the next season that they were beforehand. So Anthony Brown was obviously a promising freshman. He had, there was some tough games. He made some bad decisions. And there's some games like UVA, right? And Louisville.
Where he broke out. Where he looked. The offense was a different team. And
exactly,
he led
right?
That, so.
And so assuming, that was a develop.
Jeez. That could have been any word.
Oh my god,
that was tough.
That was a developmental component. He actually became a better quarterback later on in the year, or if it's a fluke, who knows? But either way, the point is, you never know how a quarterback's going to bounce back from an ACL.
Well, we'll talk about him a little bit and kind of the role that he needs to play in the offense. But I have so much confidence in him. I think that,
and really, the season hinges on whether he bounces back and whether he makes the jump. And we'll get more on that later.
Good segue here. We can kind of keep this both on and off the field, but I think it would be good for us to touch on what will define a successful year for you when we look, hopefully, at the end of January. But what are you thinking overall? If we can look back and say, Daz is what, fifth year?
Six.
Let's run through it really quick.
2013.
Reddick. Murphy, 14, 15, terrible year. 16, Tolles, 17, last year. This is 6 year. Daz is 6 year.
That was right.
What'll make Daz's 6 year be successful for you, not only on the field, but off the field as well? I got a couple good notes here, but I'd like to start with what you have to say about this.
So my gut says 8 wins, right? Wins is kind of the baseline. In any other year, I think it would be 9, and I get anyone that does say 9, but also we're splitting hairs deciding.
By the way, are you counting bowl wins in this?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking the first 12 games, 8-4. And the reason being, we have a very, very difficult slate this year, right?
We have the
standard ACC Atlantic schedule. We got to play Clemson. We got to play Florida State. We got to play Louisville. We got to play Virginia Tech as the crossover
every year. We'll talk about this when we kind of go game by game. But the fact that we get stuck with Virginia Tech every year, the ACC needs to figure it out. And obviously there's other teams who also get bad deals. Whoever Clemson's crossover is, which I think it's Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech obviously gets a terrible deal. But the fact that we get Virginia Tech every year when NC State gets, I assume, a Duke or UNC, it's so inequitable. And, Wake Forest as well. There's only a couple good teams in the Coastal. So it's Miami. If you get Miami, okay, that's too bad. But everyone else is a pretty easy ride besides Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm this year. We get Miami and V-Tech. As well as the out-of-conference slate, it's a little bit harder than we're used to, right?
We'll talk about it. I mean, it's not.
For all those reasons, I think 8 wins, 8-4 is a pretty solid year. It's not
and
great.
And that's not our prediction.
No, it's not. But that would be a successful year. We get to that metric. I don't know how we're going to do it, but you know, ideally, you know, you have A.J. Dillon. He's in the Heisman discussion, right? You get some big wins early. You beat who you need to beat. And, you know, you get some hype maybe. The way the schedule sets up, again, you have some opportunity to get some potentially ranked early on in the year, right? So I think all of us will be disappointed if we don't at some point, you know, enter the top 25 at some point this year. So those are some of the things that I think would create a successful year, I guess. But 8 wins is really the benchmark.
Yeah. So I mean, since we only have an hour here, I'll be quicker on my points of a successful year.
That's was mine too long?
Well, you elaborated. That's fine.
You just wanted the number, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I just kind of want a couple things. So mine are break the 7-win ceiling. So that would include 8 or higher.
Okay.
Need a couple marquee wins. Adazi only has one top 25 victory at BC so far, which was USC, which was tremendous. We need a couple, and this year we'll have presumably 4 opportunities, you know, potentially more than that if NC State crawls into the top 25 and we play them. We need to live up to the hype where we have it, specifically, you know, big seasons out of A.J. Dillon, as well as, you know, the O-line, which many people are saying is a top 5 in the country, mm-hmm. Zach Allen, et cetera, kind of the places that we have this preseason hype. I want to live up to that. And my last one is more selfish and personal. Dude Alert, which has kind of become the anthem of Fourth and Dude, you'll hear at the end of this episode, fits very well for Boston College. I think it's starting to catch on in the, you know, BC Twitter circles. It's a successful year if at some point we hear that from some official capacity, whether that's played in an alumni stadium.
Maybe the band. We get the band involved.
We get the band on it. If we have any band listeners out there.
Which I think we do.
We probably do. You know, whatever. If we can get Dude Alert, you know, into the repertoire, that I'm defining as successful. So selfishly, but here we are. I think the next item, so what are we most excited about kind of keeping an eye on for this upcoming season? I'll start. I think a huge one that we're already seeing changing is the public perception of Boston College football. For the last, I don't want to say for the full last decade, because at the early part of that, I think people still kind of respected us from the Ryan years. But, you know, at least for the last 4 to 5 years, it's just been so... It's been so easy for people to just make fun of BC football. Obviously, the I don't even know what to describe the middle year as, the Jeff Smith quarterback year. I don't know if that's not fair to Jeff, but that year we obviously got a lot of flack nationwide, and that was not fun. And I think it's kind of carried over since then. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see that changing, and we're already seeing it changing. We're seeing Sports Illustrated and ESPN kind of give us some hype and give us credit.
People don't realize that year, by the way, 2015, we had one of the best defenses in the country.
Yeah, we still, that's, I think, if anything, worse news, that we had the best defense in the country and only won 2 games. I think that actually makes it worse. I would rather be terrible all the way around.
Probably true.
But I'm excited now that there's some hype and some people are appreciating what we're doing on the Heights.
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, I guess on my list, right, is on the defensive side of the ball, we're already starting to get a ton of accolades. And really, if you look at the D-line, you look at the linebackers, and you look at the D-backs, we have a good chance to get All-Americans on every single, you know, unit. So you have...
I would say every single unit, and you can even count receivers on that if you count tight end. Like, I don't know if our receivers would be All-American, but Tommy Sweeney could be All-American.
Sure, yeah. You could very easily wind up with an All-American tight end as well. So Zach Allen, you know, projected potential first-round pick last year, obviously came back. Yeah, so and is
for this coming year.
Well, he was getting some looks last year too.
Right, he would have been drafted enough first
he's
round.
He's a lock this year to go first round if he keeps up his productivity. Lucas Dennis is a no-brainer in the defensive backfield. He came in second last year in the nation in picks. And then Connor Strahan, who is due for a huge comeback year this season. He was kind of the leader of the defense in 2016, leading tackler.
By the way,
got hurt early on.
Phenomenal blue eyes.
Yeah, dude alert.
I mean, just a good-looking dude.
Good use of Dude Alert.
Good use of Dude Alert, right?
Absolutely.
There.
So, you know, obviously the wins loss come first, and we want to, you know, make some noise in the ACC and be in the discussion. But it's great to have, you know, it's because these guys for the most part aren't huge recruits either. So it speaks to the, you know, developmental program that Coach Adazi was established.
I hate you so much.
I know. I always kind of twist into that, but
We have the best running back in the country, and it's not because of his natural talent or the fact that his mother was like one of the best track athletes in the history of the world. It's because Coach Adazi.
We're talking about the defense.
I know. I'm just saying in general. That's whatever.
The BC mantra is to develop players. It's to recruit
men and women
guys
for others
that
is officially the mantra. Okay. But yeah.
Set the world aflame. Yeah. All right. So that's sort of what I have my eyes on. In addition to everything else, it's let's get some guys drafted. Let's get some hype for these guys. That have been the leaders of the defense for a few years going now, and it's sort of an easy way to say I want to go to Boston College when I want to be like Lucas Dennis, right? I want to be like Zach Allen.
Yeah, and we saw that. We saw that obviously a little bit with Kuechly. He certainly has led in a revolution of linebackers from the Ohio area, which we've obviously had a pipeline there, but since then there have obviously been some phenomenal players to come after him. So yeah, I mean it's and you say it with every program, but winning begets more winning. So we win and we show success and we show development and we show draft picks. That's only going to make Boston College more appealing. So we'll roll with it. One thing I'm excited to keep an eye on this year, again, more selfishly and in-house, is some of the nicknames that we're developing for this football team. So AJ Dillon has given himself the nickname Sauce. It's a good nickname. I don't know how I feel about giving yourself a nickname. Mm-hmm. That's a little controversial.
I thought he had to deal with Motts.
Well, there was almost, I think we were close to an NCAA violation there. Mm-hmm. If Motts sent him applesauce.
And that's a storyline to watch.
Keep in mind, right? If he starts getting ESPN press, I could see them sending some gifts, and that would not be the controversy that we need. The BC football program has had our controversies with gambling and the like. The last thing we need is an applesauce scandal, so fingers crossed that does not happen this year. So beyond that, whatever, fine nickname. He needs a great nickname, so it's, I don't know if it lives up to the hype, but whatever. The one I'm very excited about this year, and I'm kind of going all in on it, is Tony Touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Anthony Brown, again, he's our guy. He's going to throw a lot of touchdowns. He's going to run for a lot of touchdowns. Tony Touchdowns rolls off the tongue.
It's alliterative.
We're big alliteration guys here, as you all well know. So Tony Touchdowns, I'm really feeling good about. This one I'd like to get your opinion of. I don't think we've talked about it. I've thrown it out on Twitter a couple times. It's got mixed reactions, to say the least. So we have Hamp Cheevers, mm-hmm. who is a starting cornerback for us. Hamp sounds like camp, right?
Okay, yep.
You with me so far?
Yeah, so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Camp David Accords, of course, were the peace agreement, or the framework for the peace agreement put in place between Egypt and Israel in 1978, which as a result prevented any further offensive and aerial attacks and ultimately resulted in peace and won the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm fact-checking here in the background.
Yep, 1978, Egypt, Israel. So that prevented offensive and aerial attacks. Camp David.
Okay.
Hamp Cheevers.
I sort of see where you're going with this already.
The Hamp Cheevers Accords.
Yep.
Okay, so it's Accords, and it sounds like camp. Mm. The Accords are put in place. Hamp Cheevers is put in place to prevent further aerial attacks because he's a cornerback, and he prevents the aerial attack.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts in general? It's a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, I just feel
but
like...
But everybody knows I'm a history guy. I'm a humongous history guy. I think it has legs. I don't know if you need to be a smart audience to appreciate it.
I think that having to explain the five-paragraph essay in
order
to...
Well, I just wanted to make
fully...
it very clear. I think a lot of people would get it, but I wanted to make it very clear.
Well, I mean, that's asking a lot. People have to do independent research and look
all right, how about
the
this?
Wikipedia page.
You just say this.
I think sauce kind of works because you don't... It kind of is what it is.
It doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. That's why it works.
But you could say, okay, Hamp Cheevers Accords. He prevents further offensive attacks.
And then people just take your word for it that it's based on... Yeah. So, listen, I'm on board, but I'm a history guy, so... And I listened when you said that. Yeah. I don't think we have time to educate everyone on it, but...
Yeah.
He's also, by the way, not to get football into your nicknames here, but he's an absolute stud. He's a turnover machine, and we'll get more into that, but I can't wait to see what he does this year, because he's going to be a breakout player. Breakout dude, unofficially, breakout dude of the year, Hamp Cheevers.
And then the other... I'll stick with that position group. Last year, we started Lucas Big Swinging Dennis, again, because... Dennis is spelled D-E-N-I-S. That one didn't catch on that well last year. I think it could work this year. Tony Touchdowns, I think I'm really looking forward to this year. I think that's a big one.
What other offseason storyline that I want to touch on real quick?
Please, a little segue
And we touched on it briefly, but it's not just us this year that's given BC a ton of hype. We are the, across the board, it seems like we are the sleeper for the ACC and even nationwide. So, with that said, we've gotten into Phil Steele, a couple of the other guys, Brett McMurphy, I think, had us, both of those guys,
had
us in the top 25, which is sort of uncharted territory for us in recent years. And I remember when the AP poll came out last week, actually, it was sort of, there were thoughts that maybe we were going to get involved there, right? Maybe we would make the cut, we'd be 23 or something. I'm sort of glad that we didn't. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but
yeah,
when it came out, I sort of had my fingers crossed. I don't want to get undeserved hype too early sort of thing, so I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I don't like the idea of us, without really earning anything, being ranked.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this will come up in your dude or pood, but the hype is, like we said at the start, uncharted territory and, quite frankly, kind of concerning territory. I would much rather it be the type of thing where, internally, on the team, you and I, BC fans, know that we're going to win 10 games and everyone else is laughing at us and we kind of catch them by surprise. The fact that that's not the case, and everybody, I mean, ESPN is saying it, Sports Illustrated is saying it, Yahoo is saying it, CBS is saying it, we are the sleeper in the ACC, absolutely terrifies me. It means no one will take a game off against us. We're not going to take anybody by surprise. I agree with you that I would prefer to not be in the top 25. I'd rather earn that. And if we start the year off, and we can get into it game by game in a little bit, but if we start the year off as we expect, we'll probably end up in the top 25 by week 4. But it's uncharted territory, and overall, I it makes me a little sick to my stomach because I know that the letdown is going to hurt so much more if we happen to not reach the peaks that we should.
Here's the deal. I mean, at the end of the day, if AJ Dillon wasn't throwing people's faces into the turf and like those types of videos didn't go viral, and he wasn't getting the Heisman hype that he was, no, it became kind of the popular pick. The fact of the matter is, right, we had a kind of a soft last 6 games last year, right? So, you know, we ripped off this winning streak. We won, what, 5 out of 6 to close the year. But we haven't proved anything yet. We have a big question mark at quarterback, in my opinion. More on that later. But I guess the point is, when we ultimately get ranked, which I think we will this year,
I want
it to mean something, right? I don't want it to be like...
Yeah, I'd like to earn it.
Yeah, I don't want it to be some, you know, this team went 7-6. They lost to Iowa in the bowl game, but then, you know, got all this offseason hype.
On a hockey rink, by the way.
I know, but
people are
jumping on the bandwagon because we're returning a lot of starters, and, you know, we have AJ Dillon. Outside of that, we have not proved enough to be anywhere close to the conversation of ranked. So I think ultimately we're 34 or something based on the votes received.
34, yeah.
But I'm glad we're not ranked. We need that underdog mentality. And I'll say one more thing too. When we were ranked preseason, like even going back to 2006, 2007.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
But I think that year they actually weren't. They were also in the receiving votes, which is ridiculous because they finished the year like 15 one year. Got
2007
better,
they were.
Yeah.
But they underachieve. It's you have to be the underdog. I think that works. That plays better. It keeps you motivated.
Yep.
It you have to bring it every time you're on the field. I'm personally glad we're not ranked. It'd be great for the program to be ranked. I think it's
we'll get
it's,
there. It's, that's the thing. We'll get there.
Exactly.
It's not like we're just done all year.
Exactly. With the schedule, especially.
Right. Quickly before we actually get into the overall prediction, and we can talk when we talk about that overall prediction about kind of the position groups and the fact that we have the best offensive line in the country, et cetera, et cetera. Any bold predictions for this season? I'll give an example here. We will wear the Notre Dame throwbacks that we wore at Fenway. We'll wear those at least once. Reason I'm saying it is two big reasons. One, if you follow us on Twitter, you know that there's been a large saga between
this
us.
This has been the hill that my co-host Matt has been dying on.
And there's going to be, by the way, there's going to be more on it later, but all of Boston College Twitter has a big saga with Martin Jarmond regarding the use of the throwback logo. Again, the one being that we wore against Notre Dame at Fenway Park in 2015. My prediction is that we will wear those uniforms, which are incredible uniforms, at least one time this year. Big reason I say it, one, is that Martin Jarmond clearly loves them, and the football program loves them. You know, coach has worn polos with the logo on it. Other reason is that on the season tickets, on the Louisville ticket, it's, you know, homecoming weekend, so they make it like look like a throwback, and they have that logo on the ticket. So that's my bold prediction. Only one I want to throw in is that I think the beer lines will be significantly smoother and faster than they were last year. That was a horrible system last year. I think with a year under their belt to figure out kind of the efficiencies.
You're really going off on a limb on
I'm off the field here on both of these items. Those are my bold predictions. So if you have anything bold.
You could not have a worse process for beer lines.
It was horrible.
Than what we saw last
absolutely
year.
Absolutely so horrible. So that's my bold prediction.
That's a safe
that's much
prediction.
Smoother.
I would bet the house on that.
Anything for you?
Yeah, mine's on the field if that's okay.
Okay, no,
Matt.
Perfect. Because you got to get that too.
I think it's been a while since our receiving corps has really stepped up. Really since the days of Alex Amadon, who was an absolute legend, who was underappreciated because we stunk. But people don't realize that we haven't really had a receiver, really a receiving presence since that time. Specifically, we haven't had a receiver with over 500 yards in a season. since that time. So I like this year. I like Kobe White, with my sleeper being Mikey Walker.
Kobe Beef, another nickname, and then another note, Mike Walker, also a phenomenal-looking dude.
I like one of them. I agree. Well, I think one of them will finish top 10 in the ACC in receiving. I think this is going to be a big-time year for an aerial attack that we haven't seen in a really long time. In addition to A.J. Dillon, I think we're going to be an offensive enigma this year. And I think, you know, with people stacking the box, there's a ton of opportunity for us to go through the air. And in a perfect world, Anthony Brown's kind of taking the leap. So that's my bold prediction. I got a receiver going at least 800-plus yards a game, finishing top 10 in the ACC.
800 yards a game. That's a heck of a game performance.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said 800 yards a game.
I meant for the season.
Okay.
So.
Well, stick to that. That's a bold prediction. You say 800 yards a game. That's a very bold prediction.
I'm going to go 800 yards for the season, okay. Matt.
A little easier.
So, and also, Travis Lovie wins the Heisman.
Okay.
So that's an inside pod joke. I predicted last year Travis Lovie to be a better running back than A.J. Dillon last year at this time.
That just did not work out.
It was one of the worst things I've ever said in my life.
To be fair, so. I said that Tony touchdowns should not get anywhere near the field in the first 6 weeks, and it should be Darius Wade's show, and with Darius Wade, we'll win 11 games.
Yeah, we had.
By the way, Darius Wade, who is now the third-string quarterback at University of Delaware. Yes.
So
something you hate to see.
Hopefully the bold predictions this year don't slap us in the face like they did last year.
Well, if mine do, if we don't wear the throwbacks, I can live with that.
Yeah, I'm.
You're a little more out of the limb, I guess.
Exactly.
There. So let's get into the overall prediction. I want to just cover this for 5 minutes or so before we get into our traditional segments that everyone has come to know and love, as well as some UMass preview. We can kind of talk briefly game by game. We were discussing offline a little bit. The schedule works out in kind of a funny way where it's almost two game sets back to back to back that get increasingly more difficult. Syracuse being the obvious outlier, but obviously start with the two easiest ones with Holy Cross and UMass. You get two early tests that should be winnable if we are the team that we think we are, with Wake and Purdue. Temple, again, obviously, is one of the easier groups. And then you get into the harder ones in the ACC, starting with Louisville, NC State. And then it gets into the gauntlet that everyone at this point is well versed with, because it's all anyone talks about when they talk about the Boston College season preview. But the home to Miami, the at Virginia Tech, the home to Clemson, at Florida State stretch, really a nightmare. Again, speaks to a little bit we were talking about earlier with the crossover, but it does work out nicely in the sense that we can build confidence as we go if we continue to win. What are your overall thoughts on how this year is going to shake out?
So I'll give you a number. I'll give you my official number. It's 9-3.
Okay.
And I'm feeling good about it. I think there's a ton of opportunity to be anywhere around that number. I know you're a math guy. The standard deviation there is probably about 6.
Yeah.
Am I using that correctly?
Kind of. I mean, you can't go positive 6 because you can't get 15.
I mean, the
you
plus minus. Is it not just standard?
Well, it kind of is. It's the range, but you can't go 15-3. So you can't have a standard deviation of 6 at 9 wins, because then you can't win 15 games.
All right. So here's how I'll bisect the season here. So I think we'll talk about the easier ones first, right? So it wouldn't be Boston College if we didn't lose kind of a what the F game.
Colorado State.
Exactly, right? And I'm thinking back to 08 when we're actually a good team, right? We lost to Maryland. Or 07 it was. We lost to Maryland. Maryland was like 3-9 that year. Yeah. They beat us, right, when we were ranked number 4 in the country, whatever.
It was after Florida State, right?
Well, we lost Florida State, followed it up with a Maryland loss, Maryland, right? So... So I think we'll lose a what the F game to either like a Temple or a Syracuse. I know that's kind of a hot take, but it wouldn't be BC if we didn't do that. And also, Eric Dungy, who is the Syracuse quarterback, just scares the crap out of me. He always plays BC's tough. He just seems like a mean guy. And we've had some issue with Syracuse
lately in the season. It's like a nice story. I think he was the one who had cancer and he came back and fought through it. So it's actually a nice story.
That's Rex Culpepper, who we beat by like 40 last year.
Okay, then F Eric Dungy.
Yes,
okay.
he's a mean guy.
Bad guy. Yeah. Bad guy alert. Better or worse than Dave Doran?
About
the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Evil
so that's,
people.
That's one loss there, right? So we'll say.
Wow, that's one of your losses.
We'll
out
say
of your
either
Temple, Syracuse.
Yeah, either
that's
Temple, okay. Syracuse. Maybe Purdue. I don't think so. I think, frankly, I don't want to go off a tangent here. I think Purdue stinks. People forget that Purdue is permanently like a 2-win team.
Yeah, but Jeff Brom came in and fixed some things. They were a pretty good team last year.
Yeah. So, but was last year an aberration, or is that really a 2-win program? We'll see. I'm not scared of them. I'm more scared of like a Temple or a Syracuse. So that's one loss there. The typical powers like your Louisville's, your Florida State's, and your Virginia Tech's, I think
we... Louisville in that group. Louisville doesn't belong in that group.
I think over the last 5 years, they absolutely do.
Maybe over the last 5 years, the Lamar Jackson years, but they're not in the Florida State Clemson group.
I think they're the last 5 years they're in that the top three of the ACC Atlantic every single year. So
right, but because of their all right, we're getting off track. But
because
yeah,
of Lamar Jackson,
yes.
Can you just let me? I wrote this down.
Right, yeah. Sorry.
All right. All right, so out of those three that have had our number, yep. The exception of last year, it was the first time we beat Louisville since Nam. I think we take two of those three. I think all three of those programs are down this year, but I think we can you know we'll probably lose one.
Okay, so that's two losses.
Right? Yeah, so we got two, and then I think we'll knock off Miami. Right, I think that they're overrated. They have some questions at quarterback, and then obviously the last loss. I think we'll probably lose. We'll lose to Clemson.
Yeah,
but I think we'll take care of business. Otherwise, we have AJ Dillon, so like our floor is pretty low. We're not going to lose to shitty teams because AJ Dillon will just take over. Right, so I think 9-3 feels like the right number this year.
Yeah, I don't completely disagree with you, and I'm pretty close. I'm officially going to go in at 10-2 as my official number here, which I know I pick every year, but this year I actually think there's a legitimate chance for it. So if you look at across the position groups, we have a top five offensive line in the entire country. We have a top five running back in the entire country. We have one of the best defensive back units in the entire country. I think a lot of people consider that. Not everyone does.
What's the most important position, though?
Offensive line.
Quarterback. Okay. Right.
Offensive line.
Okay.
I'm an Adazio guy.
Okay.
But, you know, our D-backs, there's some light questions at the cornerback position due to size, but both Taj and Ham Cheever's Accords, you know, did very well last year when needed. One of the top five defensive ends in the country, and Connor Blue Eyes and Richardson back at linebacker. Overall, pretty
John
strong.
Lamont. You got to mention John Lamont.
John Lamont, yeah.
John Lamont was
ACC,
the guy last year.
ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year by some metrics,
if you
but checked, we couldn't figure
sort of
out,
a weird source. Like, he won the ACC Rookie of the Year.
The fourth dude named him that. But you know, overall, we should be a very good team. I think 10-2. I think we want to.
Who are your losses?
So we want to go schedule by schedule. I think we lose one of the four of the big four. Again, being that four game stretch, Miami through Florida State. You can make a case against all of them. Getting Clemson at home is huge. Miami, we'll talk about them in Dutius Corpus in a little bit. Consistently, I think overrated. Virginia Tech has lost basically everybody on the defensive side of the ball, either draft or expulsion. And then Florida State, yeah, they get Francois back, but otherwise. You know, I think we took care of business against them last year. So I think we do drop one of those four. And then I'm kind of with you in a WTF loss. I don't think it'll be a Temple Syracuse. I think it'll be one of Wake, Purdue, Louisville, NC State. My concern here for the year is that the margin for error is razor thin. So we think that we're going to have a good team. If we are slightly better than we expect, this legitimately could be 11-1, 12-0. If we are even a hair worse than we expect, it could very quickly get very bad. If you look at the toss-up games, you know, I think we have at least four strong toss-up games, being Wake, Purdue, Louisville, NC State. If we're a little bit worse than we expect, I mean, we could theoretically, I don't think we will, we could theoretically lose, you know, three out of those four games. Similarly, if we're a little bit worse than we expect, we'll lose all four of those tough ones, you know, in that hard stretch. So if we are just slightly underwhelming, if there's an injury, if there's something like that, I mean, I can conceivably see us winning, you know, four or five games. I don't think that will happen. I think we'll win 10 or 11 games. But the reason the hype scares me so much is that I know that the margin for error is so small and that this could ultimately be one of the biggest heartbreaks of all time. But I don't want to think about that right now because it's UMass week and there's nothing but optimism in week one. And it hasn't been this exciting to be a BC football fan probably since, you know, I started freshman year.
Listen, I mean, I think we have a lot of pieces this year. There's such a big question mark at quarterback, and if Anthony Brown is not A, healthy, and B, significantly more consistent than he was last year, we could be anywhere from 5-7 to potentially even worse. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it's as simple as we just need a throw game because, you know, we just need to open it up. We just need to, and it should be a simple, you know, out route. Either Anthony can do a scramble or just out route to Sweeney, and that will be enough to open it up. So it should be a simple game, but I mean, I'm not a college football coach for a reason. I don't know how this stuff actually works.
Agreed. But fortunately, we got Stevie A on our side.
He is a college coach.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's roll right into our segments, all back by popular demand. Just kind of a recap.
Is Duder Pood back this year?
Duder Pood is back fully by popular demand. Huge. We were almost going to get rid of it, and then everyone was like, you guys can't get rid of Duder Pood. That's the only reason I listen to this podcast. So for the rundown, we got Duder Pood. We have Dude of the Week, which are two different things, and people don't always get that, but those are two different things. Mm-hmm. We have Eagles in the Wild, which is a late addition at the end of the year. And then we have everybody's second favorite behind Duder Pood, Dutius Corpus. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start with a quick Eagles in the Wild. I don't know if you have much. I have two quick hitters. Jerome Robinson lottery pick.
Yep.
That's awesome. First lottery pick in the history of Boston College. And then second one, big shout out to probably our closest friend in the entire program, Patrick Toles, giving up football life to become a missionary. So real men and women for others there. I only spent 1 year at Boston College, but he really took the Jesuit ideal mindset. He's making the world a better place. So best wishes to Patrick. And of course, anytime he wants to come on as a third host, more than welcome.
Or second host, Matt. Frank, you can have your job, have my frankly. I'll hit on the NFL draft. You hit on the NBA draft. We're quickly becoming defensive back you mm-hmm. over here. So Cam Moore and Isaac Yiadom both got drafted and are seeing some minutes here for, I think, the Broncos.
Broncos.
And another team that we can't remember, the Saints.
I don't think that's it.
It might be the Saints.
I don't know.
I just make that up. So they got drafted, which makes it the third consecutive year that we've gotten a defensive back drafted. John Johnson and Justin Simmons were drafted prior to that. So, again, not a huge area
Justin
of concern.
Simmons had a kid, by the way, Eagles in the Wild. Congrats to Justin grabbing
that's some
the kid.
Homework there. I didn't know
no,
that.
No, you tweeted at him when it happened.
Sounds like a deleted tweet. Yeah. you know, we're O-line U, right? We're, you know, we typically have, you know, certain strengths. Defensive back isn't historically one of them, so it's great to see that we're spitting out some D-backs. So that's Eagles in the Wild. Matt, I'll just do my dude of the week real quick, and it's going to be a different one than you're used to hearing from me. It's going to be Coach Steve Addazio.
I didn't see that coming.
So, and I'll just give you a quick history lesson, right?
Yep.
So Coach Addazio, back in 2013, takes over a 2-10 team, right, from Spas, who stopped recruiting, like, back in the Stone Age. He immediately made us a 7-win program, right? A 5-win difference the immediate next year, right?
Yep.
And we've been a consecutive 7-win season, with the exception of the Jeff Smith year, as you noted, was just kind of a lost year.
But so, yeah, nothing you can do there.
This is the, and I know it's year 6, and it's taken longer than a lot of people wanted, but we officially have our dudes in place. We're officially getting the hype. We have a Heisman contender in the backfield. This is a year where all the pieces have come together. And it's the program that Steve Addazio has been envisioning from day one and sort of preaching about since that time as well. So a lot of coaches, you know, don't really, you know, have a vision and see it through all the way, or they don't have time. But credit BC for you know, giving Coach the patience, and credit Coach for recruiting his butt off, for building this program the way that he, you know, has always envisioned it. He's my dude of the offseason and beyond.
And beyond. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously not as in his jockstrap as you are and as you always have been. But I do think, you know...
Well, you wanted him fired week 4 last year.
I did,
year.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people did. And I think a lot of rational people did. Obviously, it came together and it was beautiful. And I'm happy that it wasn't the case. But, you know, I don't regret anything there. What I am excited about is that he finally has a top-tier offensive line unit. He's an offensive line coach. That's kind of how his offense has always been built to run. He's had, obviously, some good linemen in his time at BC, but he's never had a unit like this. So I am very excited. You know, I think it gives him a great opportunity here. He finally has his cornerstone in place.
And it's not just a one-year thing,
no,
right?
No, it's not. No,
it's
no,
a
no,
consistent pipeline that he's built. He has, you know, firmly planted BC in some of the key recruiting hotbeds. There's a lot to look forward to. Even if they have a bad year, right? And I'll get more into this later, but, like, I can't wait till we lose to, I don't know, Purdue or whoever, right? And everyone's calling for his head.
Well,
again,
I can live with the Purdue loss because it's non-conference. I can live with a non-conference loss. If we lose to Wake, I'll be very unhappy. I would live with the Purdue loss.
Yeah, I mean,
if I had to pick,
I just do you think we're going to contend for the ACC this year? Does it really matter that much?
I do. At 11-1 and 10-2, we are absolutely contesting for the ACC.
I know, but I think next year is, like, Clemson, and we'll get more into Clemson later, but they're as good a defense in the history of college
football.
Phenomenal, right?
And it's too bad because Wilkins is a Springfield kid. Would have been nice to have him.
Geez,
but, I mean, that's not...
Here we go.
That's no one's fault. I'm just saying it would be nice to have him, you know, the way we kept Dylan.
Yeah.
But, dude or pood, again...
Who's your dude of the week?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do mine. So, due to the upcoming season...
Even you're confused by this.
I'm very... I don't get any
of
this.
Dude of the week.
My dude of the upcoming season is Zach Allen. Again, I don't think that's a surprise. He's probably the second most important player on this team behind A.J. Dillon. He had a huge year last year in Harold's absence due to injury.
Absolutely outplayed Landry last year.
Right.
Even
well,
when
I mean,
they were both
he wasn't on the field. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be a top a first-round pick this year, assuming no injuries. Again, knock on wood. He's also a great chess player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jason Baum tweeted that out this week. He's a really good chess player. And the only other thing I'll note is that I think it's kind of funny that our best two players both wear number two. I don't know if there's any significance.
It was on my list too, Matt.
Yeah.
I don't know what it tells me, but it's... college program or any team in the world where two of the top players wear the same number, but I love it.
I kind of do too. It's kind of weird, but it's, you know, you could do the respect with the Derek Jeter thing.
Ooh, I love that.
AJ Dillon did it a couple times.
Ooh, yikes.
But whatever. Overall, Zach Allen is going to be the cornerstone of this defense. I think if we get pressure the way we expect him to get pressure, it's going to be especially on that side of the ball. Moving into Dude or Pood, again, just to kind of recap for our new listeners, Dude of the Week is an individual thing. Dude or Pood is just kind of a good and a bad thing. It does honestly doesn't make a lot of sense. We came up with it in our first episode, and we're going to roll with it. I'll start it off. My dude is Summer Reading. It's the summer. Kind of out of left field, but specifically, I read a book this summer called Tales from the Boston College Sideline. It was written by our former SID. I think it was the SID before Dick Kelly.
What's SID stand for?
Student
Sports Information Director. I got it.
Or like the spokesman.
I got it. Sounded it out.
Very interesting read. Very easy, quick read. It's just, you know, it's a bunch of like, you know, two paragraph little vignettes throughout kind of the history of the program, starting in the 1900 when the program was founded, all the way through now. As someone who's only been a fan of the program since I've gone to school here, which is, 10 years ago, it's really awesome to get kind of the history behind the program, and you read into, you know, funny stories from the locker room and the Flutie days, and even before that when they were traveling to the Cotton Bowl, and, you know, back when the Holy Cross rivalry was great. A very interesting look into the history of the program. Highly recommend it for all Boston College Eagles fans. The last page basically ends on the day that Steve Addazio is hired, so it obviously segues nicely into the future, into the world that we're living now. So that's my dude.
Yeah. Matt, I haven't read a book since about 1998.
I picked it up this year. Reading in general. I got back into reading this year. So I recommend it.
Can I... I like to flip the script real quick. I like to do my poo before my dude.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Well, everyone knows that.
All right. So my poo this year is going to be... We did lose some coaches in the offseason. And every, you know, good business leader says, you know, that's just a fact of life. If you hire good people and you develop good people, they're going to jump to other jobs. We lost Coach Pasqualoni to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Patricia coached at Q's with him back in the day.
Northeast guy. If you're a Northeast football guy, you overlap.
You know Paul
so
Pasqualoni.
Many ways. Yeah, yeah. There's
at one point or another,
there,
you and Paul Pasqualoni, you know, cross swords or whatever.
Right.
I'm just using that, you know, metaphorically.
Probably literally as well. I think that's a football guy move.
Obviously, Coach P had a ton to do with the he was the D-line coach, right, for BC the last couple years. And we've had a really solid unit, obviously, with Landry, you know, being pretty much the best D lineman in 2016. And then again with Allen last year. So the hope is that those guys don't take a step back. We also lost Coach Justin Fry. I'm less really concerned about that one because, like you said,
yeah, we got
Addazio isn't an O-line guy.
Right.
Fry went to UCLA to coach the line under Chip Kelly.
Well, you know, credit, it shows credit to Coach getting great. I mean, you want good, like you said, you want good guys.
Absolutely.
You want them to go to Chip Kelly's program. I mean, it sucks, you know, and the hope is that BC becomes a end of the road program because we become that good, but right now we're not, and that's okay. If guys are taking big steps up, that's a good sign.
And you think about last year too, I mean, all the injuries the line had and the guys that stepped up, like a Ben Petrulla who had never played center before. I don't know how much, you know, to attribute that to a guy like Justin Fry versus, you know, the program or Addazio or whatever, but that'd be my poot is you never know how coaching losses are going to impact the production of those guys.
Sure. So I'm going to go more off the field than you did for my poot. Back to
you always
friend.
Do, Matt.
I do. I always do. I find little annoyances in daily life.
You don't know that much about sports in the grand scheme of things. You're more of a beer line and Jersey guy.
Look, I'm an atmosphere guy. I'm an atmosphere guy. I like the total program. My pood is Martin Jaumond continuing to lead us on with this logo change. We touched on it a little bit earlier in the episode. All he does on game day, all he does at charity events, all he does is wear gear from the Notre Dame game at Fenway in 2015.
He's almost doing it to trigger.
He almost is doing it to trigger us at this point, and it's
you.
Remarkable.
I'm cool.
But it's everyone. ATL Eagles on the same page. There's a lot of people who are on the same page with us, and you know, one shirt could be, okay, he found that in the closet. They made it for the coaches at Fenway. Every single shirt he wears now is custom made, and it's new. It's using the new Under Armour style, and then it has this logo on it. So it's very clearly he's communicating with his contacts over there saying, hey, you know, I need this gear, whatever. They've released some shirts into the store, but they're more like t-shirts with kind of a retro look to them, not anything Under Armour, yet somehow he has this unlimited supply of Under Armour. So clearly there are some conversations going on the back end. I don't know why he won't just admit it and say, yeah, we're going to make the change, and everyone would absolutely love it. That's my poot, is that he continues to lead us on, and he won't actually make the change. He won't let us buy it. Just let me buy a Game Day polo.
It's not just you.
It's insane. Whenever it's not just me,
you'll tweet something out about it, and we'll get like the most retweets.
Yeah, you want to go viral.
It's like literally everyone is on board with that. So I think he will do it eventually. He's waiting for the right time. Maybe so when we're 7-0, it's like, hey guys, here you go.
Here we go. All right, I want to run through.
Whoa!
Sorry, you got more?
Yeah, I got a dude.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you went out of order there.
Jesus Christ. I remember I did my poo.
Yeah, you do.
I did my dude.
Right.
My dude this year is going to be how much money I'm going to make betting on AJ Dillon to win the Heisman. It's incredible, his current odds. He's plus 3,300. If you look at some of the other guys, it's outrageous. And everyone's hyping up, Bryce Love out of Stanford. And Jonathan Taylor.
Phenomenal stats.
Out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're both tremendous.
But you know why, right? It's a poo within the dude is... We play against some of the best defenses in the country. We play Miami is a top defense. Clemson is obviously the best defense in the country. Virginia Tech is always solid with Bud Foster, right? They don't play defense in the Pac-12. They don't.
Run and gun, West Coast offense, 65 to 55.
Exactly. So he's going to put up 2,000 yards easy. They should extrapolate the competition. There needs to be a stat. Maybe I'll come up with it. It's not exactly like a CPA thing, but I can probably figure it out, right?
Maybe, yep.
And it can be like, all right, so if I gained 250 yards against Oregon, that's equivalent to, maybe 90 yards against Clemson, right? Sort of thing.
Yep.
So, I don't know. My concern is that this will become, AJ Dillon will be in the Heisman race, right? But he's competing against
ESPN,
Bryce Love.
ESPN had him in their top 10 people to watch today.
And Jonathan Taylor, who is playing in the weak side of the Big Ten, right? Wisconsin plays nobody. They play against Rutgers. Like, I could rush for 200 yards against Rutgers. So it sucks that, AJ, it's great that I can bet on AJ Dillon to win the Heisman, but my concern is that he's not going to get the credit that he's due because we play a hard defensive schedule, whereas the Big Ten's a joke, that side of the division at least, and then the Pac-12 is also a joke defensively, so those guys will put up big numbers. But I will make big money based on the odds that Bovada currently has.
I want to dovetail off of that quickly. So Jonathan Taylor is obviously a phenomenal running back. Mm-hmm. We talked about nicknames earlier.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I feel like there's a lot you could do with that,
Jonathan
right?
Jonathan Taylor
like
Thomas.
A Simbo reference or a home improvement reference. Like, there's a lot you could do with that. I'm a little jealous that we don't have anyone with a name very similar to a 90s child star.
Well said.
Anyways, moving on. Let's do it very quickly. Let's do about 3 minutes on Dudeus Corpus. Again, we bring teams into the courtroom of Fourth and Dude, and then we consider them, either innocent or guilty.
Guilty or, not guilty, or maybe we sell out of court.
Right, so Clemson, really quick, I'm going to charge them with being really good. They are guilty of being really good. They are the number two team in the country.
There's
the
no other take here. They are incredible.
They are so good. Their front seven is scary.
The only thing is there is potentially quarterback controversy. I think they have a freshman that who knows how good he is, but Kelly Bryant was more than sufficient with that defense. Doesn't really matter.
Right. Okay, Virginia Tech being charged of being good, the number 20 team in the country. For me, they are...
They're guilty of being good for me.
Okay, they're innocent for me because I think they're super overrated.
Okay, I disagree. I think Josh Jackson's a stud. I think they beat us pretty handily last year. I think Fuente is a good coach. I think they had off-the-season issues. I don't think that really matters in the grand scheme of things.
Their defense is absolutely decimated. They lost four starters
so
to draft.
Strongly, though,
they lost four players to draft, and they expelled another five.
I know they did.
Their defense is eviscerated this year.
They have a great
their
defensive
offense is
scheme,
good,
though.
And Fuente is great.
That's one of those that I think a lot of people are down on Virginia Tech this year. That's a scary... And every year to play Virginia Tech is
okay. So that's a mistrial. That's a mistrial.
Yeah, I think we can. I think we can say that.
Florida State. They're being charged with being good. How about this? No.
I'm throwing it out of court.
Florida State is charged with being overrated. Are they guilty or innocent of being overrated?
I lost you there.
Florida State, where you're charging them with the crime of being overrated, are they guilty of being overrated?
Guilty.
Yeah, they are so guilty of being overrated.
Yeah. So. But Florida State, I mean...
Glad you followed me on that one. You figured it out nicely there.
Yeah, it wasn't that complicated.
Oh, you fought through it.
We obviously smoked them 35-3 last year, right?
Yep.
I'm not scared of James Blackman, but if Francois wins the job, he absolutely...
Which he should.
He lit us up.
He should, and he probably will.
He's had a ton of off-the-field issues. Yeah. They don't like his leadership, all that. Who knows if that's actually going to end up happening. We play them late enough in the year, they'll probably have it figured out, but if Blackman's the guy, I think we win that easily. If Francois's the guy, maybe it's 50-50, right?
All right. I think they're overrated as well. I think they're the same team as last year. Plus
Cam
Francois.
Akers, though. He's a good running back.
Yeah, Cam Akers is not half of A.J. Dillon. And everybody on...
I wish I could short that Heisman.
If you look at the odds, if you look at the way everyone's writing about Player of the Year, Cam Akers is getting so much more love than A.J. Dillon, and it is pathetic, and it just shows how little people know actually about college football.
In my mind, it's in the Atlantic, it's Clemson, BC, and everyone else.
Yeah.
Which I know is very Homer to say, but whatever.
Yeah, but it was true.
In the Coastal, it's Miami, Virginia Tech, and then Duke's my sleeper.
So okay. Yeah, some people, I've seen some love for Duke. Last one I want to do in the ACC, and then we can talk about just quickly the overall state of the nation. Miami is being charged with being overrated. For me, they are significantly guilty. They play in a cupcake division. Mm-hmm. They do play well when the lights are on. They had about two really good games last year. I think one of them was against Notre Dame, and I forget the other one, maybe Florida State, where they played phenomenal. Every other game, they limped by. They limped by a terrible Virginia team.
They beat Virginia Tech badly, too.
Okay. Yeah, right. So that was one they showed up for. Yeah. That was a big game. I remember that.
But they almost lost to UNC.
They did lose to Pitt.
They did lose to Pitt.
Right? Like
they
every
almost
game,
lost to Syracuse.
So, if anything, I'm a little frustrated that it's a Friday night, you know, ESPN primetime game. I would almost prefer that this is a noon kickoff on ESPN3 because they would, you know, sleep through it and we'd kill them. If they're up for it, they can play well. But overall, I think they're overrated. We have a better defensive back unit than them. Sorry, Danny Boykane. Overall, they are significantly overrated in my book.
I'm with you. Nothing to add there.
Last Studious Corpus bit. Just give really quickly your final four.
All right. Clemson, Alabama, mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
Like it.
And then get this. West Virginia.
West Virginia is your
sleeper.
I'd like
them to win the Big 12 and get in.
Interesting. I like that a lot. I'm with you on the first three. Jeez, number four, I probably should have been more prepared for this.
I told you offline, remember? Hey, Matt, get your final
you
four ready.
You told me it earlier, and I did not get it ready. I'll go with those three, and I'll have my fourth to be named later. I'll name it next week.
Okay. All right.
Anything else for Duty's Corpus, or let's talk UMass?
Let's talk some UMass. Let's go.
All right, let's do it kind of quick here, because I know we're this has been a long episode, but you know, let's do 10 minutes of UMass, and then we'll...
Yeah, man, I don't have a lot of research for UMass, so
yeah,
I think it'll be quick.
So... go ahead, start kind of with their strengths and weaknesses and how we match up.
I'll give you the information I know about them. UMass stinks.
Okay.
So obviously they went 4-8 last year. Not obvious, but I looked that up. They went 4-8 last year. They went 0-6 in their first six games. They do stink. That said, they played us tough the last couple years. Oh, also, they've also returned everyone from that team. But yeah, so that's the good news, right? They returned everyone. That's good news. But the bad news is they stunk last year. They did play, you know, some of the top teams pretty tough.
Tennessee, Mississippi. Tennessee stunk, but Mississippi State, right?
Yeah, it was Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
Mississippi
State,
yeah.
Yeah, wow, they have a tough slate there,
Because they're independent. They just play everybody.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They should join a conference.
Yeah.
But either way, I think the momentum that we have compared to what... At the end of the day, this should not be a game.
That's my
analysis.
I agree.
They have a senior quarterback. But this is not. This is the 11th out of 12 game that I'm worried about from an upset standpoint.
Yeah, a Holy Cross. Yeah. Run through just really quickly. So it will be the best UMass team we've played so far. What that says, who knows. They do have a strong, consistent offense. Their quarterback, Andrew Ford, was a VaTech recruit.
Played
really? There. Yeah. I don't know if he ever played there, but he transferred. He's a big-time quarterback. Last year, he put up 22 touchdowns, 4 picks, 2,900 yards. Very good year. Very consistent. Does not make a lot of sense. 31 points per game last year. The negative side for them, their O-line is pretty terrible. They were 127th in sacks allowed last year, which is about works out to about 4 per game. So our defense should
absolutely eat. Ooh, and we have a good defense, yeah.
Zach Allen should absolutely eat. The Rays, Ray Smith and Wyatt Ray should have, you know, a hell of a day. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they lost much of their D-line, so our O-line should absolutely feast. They are undersized. We should just be able to push them around the field all day long. They did shut down Mississippi State last year defensively, but Mississippi State, I think, kind of sucked. So we should be able to score.
Well, they allowed 34 points.
To Mississippi State?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Tennessee, maybe I was thinking?
Yeah, Tennessee, they lost 17-13.
I mean, Tennessee stunk.
They did lose to Temple, who also lost to UConn. So something to think about there, transitive property. At the end of the day, this is not a game we're worried about.
We should be able to score.
And if they lose this game, our season's over. Our podcast is canceled.
Yes. Give me your tailgate ability score. Again, reminder, out of 30, this year we're doing 30 Bud Lights. We did 30 Natties last year, but we're in our late 20s now.
We didn't talk about that.
We're both, we're both engaged, so we're grown up now. We can't drink 30 Natties anymore, but we can still drink 30 Bud Lights.
Wow. Okay. All right. So I just wish you'd run things like that by me.
Yeah. Sorry.
Pre-show. I have 25.8 Bud Lights.
Wow,
I know it's high.
What are you doing?
Just football's back, baby. That's why. I bumped
it's like
it up.
A preseason
I bumped
game.
It up 10 BLs. because of that. Football is officially back. Tailgate season's back. It's been circling my calendar since the bowl season last year. I'm so ready to get out there, watch some football, and for BC to be undefeated.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you on the excitement.
And you want to get the weather and
all
that.
I don't have internet. I'm at your apartment. I don't have the internet connected. So do you mind pulling up the Chestnut Hill weather for next Saturday?
Because really
that is going to affect my tailgate ability.
Why don't you do some filler?
I'll give the positive stuff. So it is opening weekend. Football is back. That's always exciting. However, Labor Day is a negative. People have plans on Labor Day. They're doing other things. The last thing they need to do is to do a game in Chestnut Hill against a media. Not a mediocre opponent, a bad opponent. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really move the needle. Normally, it's good weather, and we will know
AM
now.
Showers, Matt. AM showers.
No. That's... Oh, yeah. AM showers, 74. Yikes. That's not great. All right. That knocks it down even a little bit further, and it's a small AM opponent.
It's literally like 5-10 days away.
I'm going to go 17 and a half Bud Lights. It's just not exciting. I'm looking forward to, obviously, watching it. I'm looking forward to watching it, but I wouldn't be psyched to go tailgate this game.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm excited about football.
You give 26 Bud Lights, that's a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I kind of panicked there.
Okay. Moving on to the top five plus six man notable alumni.
Ooh, here we go. All right.
It's a pretty good list.
It was.
I'll say that.
It was a good list, man.
You can start.
All right, I will go first. Why don't you go first, Matt?
Okay, I mean, I think there's only one number one overall pick, Al Skinner.
Yeah.
Al Skinner, former Boston College basketball coach, should have never fired him. UMass basketball standout, number one overall pick, and it's not even close.
I got Rob Corddry. Oh, just a quick note on Al Skinner. Al Skinner, by the way, is one of the best, not only coaches, but just the best humans of all time. That guy can wear a suit.
Good dresser.
He can wear a suit. He can wear the crap out of a suit.
Men's Clothing of Watertown wants to sponsor us, I would take that.
Yeah, actually, we should tag them if they have Twitter.
We should take that.
I don't know if you guys are Ballers fans. I am. Rob Corddry. I didn't do a great job with this alumni list here, Matt, but Rob Corddry is the guy from Ballers. He was also in Old School. I think he was a pledge, right? Was he one of the guys from the Mitch's Work that was trying to join the pledge? I think he might have been. Either way, he was in Old School.
I don't know. Yeah.
He was one of the pledges. I think he might be in Even Stevens as well, but I'm not
Hot
sure.
Tub Time Machine.
Office Christmas Party. Office Christmas Party.
Very funny movie. Highly recommend. That's why we had a good podcast.
How about that, huh? All right, so that's that. That's a great get for them.
Matt, all right, number three, who do you got?
I have Bill Pullman, who was President Thomas J. Whitmore in Independence Day, sort of out-acted by Will Smith in that film, but a great film nonetheless, and a great alum for UMass.
We will not go quietly into the night. I'll go number four here. Again, it's a good alumni list. I'm going to keep it in the sports world. I'm going to go with Brianna Scurry. She was the United States goalie in the, was it 98? No, 2000.
Whatever
99.
Yeah, whenever that
99 World Cup. She saved at least one penalty kick. I remember that being a very exciting sporting event. I think she went kind of crazy after the World Cup. I think she had some...
No, you're thinking Hope Solo.
Hope Solo also did, but I think Brianna Scurry had some public outburst after the World Cup. Anyway, she's a phenomenal athlete, and I did not know that she was a UMass girl, so good for her. And then number five... I think I have to go Jeff Corwin, who hosted the Disney Channel Animal Show. It was like Jeff Corwin Goes Wild. It was on Disney Channel in the 2000s.
You said this was a good list, and this is what we ended up going with.
I'll be honest, he snuck into this. He probably does not deserve to be on here. And
so I thought you were going to go with Rick Pitino. So that's why I didn't include him.
That's fine. He was on my honorable mentions.
Rick Pitino.
Jeff Corwin. I mean, that Animal Show was a cool show.
Get this. Rick Pitino had a brief stint at UMass.
Very brief. He was there for 15 seconds. He was on my list.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it is. All right, there you go. Yeah. Perfect.
All right, so that's your sixth.
No, it's not. I've been saving this guy. This one's great. Jeffrey Donovan, who you don't know, but he's the actor in Hitch. He was
Burn Notice.
So he's the guy in Burn Notice,
He does
right?
not belong on the top six. So he's the dickhead in Hitch.
So he's the guy. He's Vance Munson, who is a pig, by the way. That's what they say. Vance Munson is a pig. It's a big line in that movie.
Yeah, he's the guy. Power suit,
power tie, power steering. It's one of the all-time lines from our generation, in my mind. So
good-looking guy.
Well,
he's in Sicario, which is a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, I guess
worth the watch. Have you seen it?
Yeah,
worth the watch.
So he grabs Will Smith by the wrist. A lot of action for Will Smith in this episode. And he goes, "This is what I'm about: power suit, power tie, power steering." Watch Hitch if you haven't. Obviously, that's Emmy or Oscar-winning performance by all involved. That's That's my third best UMass.
Yeah, lineup. I think our cuts will have some qualms with this list, and rightly so. Richard Gere, famous from Pretty Woman in Chicago. Also, he put a gerbil up his butt. Bridget Moynihan has a child with Tom Brady.
Now, was she in the town, or was that a different gal?
No, that's not.
Gone Baby Gone.
Nah. No.
Nothing?
No. She's an actress. I don't know what she's in, but she's in... No.
Mystic River.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually think I
don't. I think you're incorrect about that.
Okay.
I think I know who you're thinking of, and it's not...
iRobot.
Yeah.
Not what I was thinking.
Okay. Ben Cherington, Red Sox GM, post Theo. He oversaw the bad years.
He won a World Series.
But he did, yeah, he won the John Farrell World Series. But he's very responsible for this roster today, the Mookie, JBJ, et cetera. So he does not get the credit he deserves. UMass also has two other former MLB GMs and one NFL GM, which I thought was kind of an interesting fact.
Eisenberg's legit. Eisenberg is it's a legitimate business school.
Okay. Yeah, man.
And they have a good sports management program, so I get that.
Dr. J and Marcus Camby, you mentioned Rick Pitino, but they have a good basketball program. They also have an astronaut, like every single ACC school we play. I don't know why we only play astronaut schools.
You're obsessed with
astronauts. And we don't have astronauts. And last but certainly not least, my parents.
Yeah.
My parents both went to UMass. So
they're on my list, but they didn't make the
cut. Yeah, they'll be upset about that.
I'm kidding.
They should have probably made top two spots. I apologize for that. But yeah, overall, pretty good alumni list to start the year. We have some treats for the alumni section as we move on throughout the year because we don't want to repeat. So stay tuned for that. I guess it'll be the Wake Forest game will be the first time we actually switch that up because it's not a repeat opponent.
All right, let's talk shop here. Actually, we already talked shop.
There's not
else to say about UMass.
It's just prediction.
All right, I'm going to give you gun to my head. Here's my score. BC 42, UMass 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. I think that they'll get on the board more than you're giving them credit for, but we will wear them out with size and win comfortably. We will hopefully rest Dylan and Brown in the second half. I think overall we win 45-17. Birds cover the 18.5 is what the current number is. We start off, we feel very good. We escape without injuries.
Great teams win.
Next week.
Good. Oh, shit. Missed it up. Good teams win. Great teams cover.
That's better. Awesome. So thanks for listening. This is week one. Again, we're going to keep this rolling every week. Hopefully keep it around an hour, if not a little shorter, depending on how long everyone's attention span is. But yeah, great episode. Follow us on Twitter, @4thanddude. We have a lot of good tidbits coming out of preseason camp, and we'll be rolling right along with you throughout the season. So give us a follow there and get our footprint up.
Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, the full nine. And with that, it's always a great day to be a dude.
Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.